Hello everyone, this is the Red News Fanzine Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all for buying the mag. And if you don't buy the mag, buy the mag. But if you want to support us a little bit more, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and it's patreon.com/rednews. Now, here's the podcast. Goodbye.
Well, hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 308, and we're temporarily back during the summer break just to say thanks to everyone for supporting the mag and getting us over the line with 3 weeks to spare. So we just want to say thanks for the bullshit podcast, really. I'm joined with Nathan and Coggy. Coggy's pulled off, pardon my language, off the motorway to get home because he's kind of given his time midway back home. But I said he could be, it's like, what's that TV series, the car share, the dogging episode. Someone knocks on his window. This is where you need a visual aid. But just literally, I don't want to over-repeat myself because I did the video and all that, but just really humbling. Like, Nick and Nathan, never in doubt. But sometimes, 1 year we won't, but this year we didn't. And it gets personally, selfishly, to 50 years in September going and 40 years for the mag. It's a special year. Promise you we'll put everything into it. Thanks to Nick and Nathan for once again agreeing to sell when we've had the sun, and you can bet your bollocks that August the 30th, get your raincoat ready. But just like, and to Chloe and Albert to putting up, you know, with all the late nights and all the inconveniences of the mags and the deliveries and whatever, but just really buzzing my tits off. So thanks to everyone for doing that. And like, you get more of this. And we'll go on to United. I did think, just at a random, I was watering plants, and I thought, do you remember House Party during COVID? What a weird thing that was, when random people could just join your conversations and all that. And then it just went straight after COVID. Right, bizarrely, it's one of those weeks where a lot has kicked on with United. So we're going to do the tangents a bit later. Let's get on to the serious stuff. Amorim's just said he admits he's made mistakes. Said, I'll try to change some things. Some things he'll never change. And he's learnt a lot at United as he's done the AC Milan. And he says something like, I'm sorry he never got the opportunity. It's nice words, you know, like. It'd be very interesting if he has adapted at all. Andres Santos. Now, there's a lot of anger about the Edison. I will honestly bring in the Red News expertise here and go, I don't know enough about either of them. I didn't know enough about the West Ham lad, to be honest. I've never watched a West Ham game, and it never overwhelmed me that, oh, he's fantastic, we've got to go out like Declan Rice. But a West Ham fan I spoke to did get me excited before it all fell through, going, no, he's the bee's knees, and he will, once he steps up a level, he'll be very good. So that was interesting. Nick's here. I'm not going to get angry. Steve always goes, let's wait, you know, like, let's see as the season develops. I would be disappointed if these two aren't for the future, bolster the squad, if we don't then get, not the biggie, because we've done the biggie before, but get the substantial ready-made, because these are two punts for the future. You've got to get the ready-made. You've got to get the player in who's going to come and hit the ground running straight off in that middle. So if this is the two of the three, I don't know enough, and we shall see as time develops. The decent fees, that's the world Ineos are living in because of you-know-who, the unmentionables. So it's like, if Lammens was a decent surprise, though I don't trust the suits and I really don't like Sir Jim, I'm going to give them enough, and people might not like this listening, give them enough leeway to go, let's see. Chelsea, I asked the Chelsea fan quickly, and what's Santos really like? He played 27 games last year. It's been a bit up and down, and he just went, fuck off. So I don't know if that's just him generally telling me to fuck off, or he didn't want to partake any information. And then there's stories about Rashford being put back into the squad. Now, this is a multifaceted one. It might be one of those plays. I can remember Fergie falling out with Ruud van Nistelrooy, and then him coming back for training, and everything's going to be all right. And secretly, behind the scenes, they were just sorting the deal out. So is this just playing a good hand of poker, saying to Barca, well, come on then? Because one thing, whatever your feelings of Rashford, he's not a 20, 28 million pound player, and that bid is fucking, anyone who puts in that kind of offer for him is scandalous. Fuck it off. So play the game. Now, it's, I was, the Derby game against City and Luton away, where he basically stopped and didn't track back, on top of all the other Belfast stuff, was unforgivable. But Rashford's the strange kind, because he's also the player who scored 30 goals for us twice in his career. Should be 5 or 6 seasons. I don't think, if it actually happened, that he would have a bad season for us. What you would see is, how do you deal with the outside elements? How do you deal with the hangers-on again? How do you deal with all the elements that made that situation so bad and toxic for both sides? How do you prevent that happening? I think we'd get a very good season, but what I'd say is, play your cards right if it did, and aim to sell next summer after a good season for United, because I don't think Rashford would have 2 or 3 good seasons for us. I think it would be a very short-lived reconciliation. But anything could happen. You know, we've literally no idea. The transfer window does my head in. The sun is out. The flies are doing my fucking head in. But I don't want to get really angsty at this stage. Now, if on August 29th, we've still not got the ready-made midfield up, just on a pure emotional level, that United, you want them to kick on, and there are seasons we know, the Deleau, the Lee Grant season, where we didn't kick on, but let's see. Hello, Nathan. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the first thing about Rashford, I don't think he wants to come back. I don't think that we really want him to come back. And like you say, he's not. The fact that Barcelona don't want to pay that money for him, but have been willing to pay 70-odd for Gordon, you know, they've clearly seen that there's something wrong as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they're not even, you know, he had a half-decent time with them, and they're not even willing to pay pittance, basically, for him. You know, they've seen there's something wrong. So, you know, we can't all be wrong in seeing this. So, he'll end up going somewhere else. I can't see him coming back properly. And I think if he does, then, you know, when he was a proper part of the squad, he couldn't give a shit. Imagine what he's going to be like when he comes back and he doesn't want to be part of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, but I've not even really thought about that, because I just can't even see that it'll happen. Do you know what I mean? The signing stuff, I think the thing about the lad from West Ham, by the sounds of it, is that he wanted ridiculous wages, and, you know, like, fair play to the club that have not, like, buckled to that, because, like we've seen, we're still struggling with the last time that we were giving ridiculous wages to people. Do you know what I mean? And, we, you know, we've spent years saying that we need to stop doing that, and we're finally getting through that period of time of, you know, we're getting rid of the Sanchos, we're getting rid of these sorts of people who've been on big money that we've not been able to get rid of any other way. So to them, you know, he could end up being class, but if he comes in wanting ridiculous money, then it's going to cause more issues. So I'm not got a problem with that. I think, you know, I don't know a huge amount about, like, say, about either of the two people that are being brought in, the one from Chelsea or that other Brazilian guy, but, you know, we all said at the start of the season, that the start of the summer, even before Ugarte got cropped, that we needed 2 or 3 midfielders with, you know, so, like I say, it'd be great if we, you know, if we've still got one more in the bag, you know, to come in, but we did need numbers, do you know what I mean? Like, we're hopefully going to have 20 or 30 more games next season, yeah, or whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? We can't rely on the squad that we had last year. So we need, I don't know, it's, you know, we're signing this lad from Chelsea, it's 50 million. It's a lot of money. But we need bodies. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously I want them to be good bodies. we're in a situation where we can't afford to just spend 130 million or whatever it was on Elliot Anderson, because we need more than just him.
Yeah. Well, the interest, I like Wharton, but there are doubts, you know, that level you need to get to United, and it isn't just, you know, a level playing on Champions League. I'm talking the level of expectation. But I think, you know, we have to, the idealists are, we can do this. We know we can't. We know we haven't for a number of years. We're almost like, and I would have been interested, that Borough kid who's gone Everton, it'd be interesting to see how he'd have done, because I would have gone, if Carrick knows and trusts him and wants him, apparently we didn't want to go, you know, to the 20 million mark. It's almost like we've added 15 million to the cost with the renegotiation of the Glazers, that we have to readily admit, with all the shit shows still ongoing, that the club is almost going for yellow stickers for a couple of players, you know, are they out of date, and, you know, their hopes for the future. And that isn't a disservice. Like Andy Metten made the point, Edison, Champions League experience, you know, as you say, that just... that's not the bother in terms of, you know, like, or they'll get a run out. And hope, it's how interested, how will United do? Will we have, where, like, can we cope with, say, the four home games? Two will be against beatable opposition. If you can play those sort of players in those two home games and then win them, it changes the complex of the mood. And, you know, like, and again, there's so many, you know, just on the Bruno World Cup, what impact will that have on United? Maybe nothing. But that was interesting, I thought. Was that the Ronaldo pressure? You know, can Bruno overachieve again? I hope Cunha. Like, Cunha can't. The World Cup would have done him the world of good. There's a lot of little subplots, you know. It would have done him so good, scoring goals at the World Cup. You know, like, taking on the mantle for Brazil. So that should hopefully. But we're going to lose the presence of Casemiro. And in terms of the player, who was the one who'd be in there, like... The drive, the energy, you know, like, I'm going to train extra, I'm going to... So that, you know, like, that dressing room, who's going to step up a little bit more, will be interesting. Coggy, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Good. Yeah, I've got an actual theory on these two Brazilians that we bought. I think Jason Wilcox's wife said to him, I'm going for a bikini wax, I want a Brazilian. So he went to some fucking bought two. He heard what she was saying. I don't know where the logic is either of those, to be honest. I mean, you know, Santos, 50 million for somebody who Chelsea doesn't want. It's pretty obvious they don't want him. He may have played 27 league games last season, but it's pretty obvious that Chelsea don't want him. And I know nothing about Edison. So I'm not convinced we'll get a third midfielder.
No.
I look at the budget from... We spent, what, about £200 million last year, I think, didn't we, in the summer, and that was, you know, utilising money that we got for Garnacho and people like that. So that's the ballpark figure, I think, for this season, this summer. We spent 100 million on two players that you basically said are not going to be starters. I'm not convinced that we're going to go and get this 60, 70 million pound midfielder. Mm-hmm. that you think we're going to get, bearing in mind that, you know, we still need to improve the attack. I think, you know, we've still got weaknesses in defence, particularly left back. I'm concerned that Carrick came out yesterday, I think it was, or the day before, saying this is a good squad, we're in a good position, you know, etc. That makes me think we're not going to go and buy a marquee signing or a big signing. We've bought this land for the ground. Is that going to impact on the transfer budget? And we've pulled out of these under-21 competitions, which I know might be only 6 or 8 games, but it makes me think they're going to utilise the likes of the Fletchers, the Waits maybe, you know, a couple of the others. So I'm not convinced we're going to get that other third midfielder, to be honest.
That scares me. And, like, because it is, you know, there's so many elements of this squad that do need to improve. But then the likes of Heaven, you know, Martinez has been outstanding for Argentina. Will we see that Martinez? Or, you know, you're hoping, and, like, God, you know, mount like a new signing. You know, there are variables. But it's like we overachieved. We all know that from where we were, and we got giddy. But it's here where you'd like to think. And it always a little bit concerns me, like us, loan in Garnacho, that why would Chelsea want to sell us a potential 22-year-old, you know, with the world at his feet?
Yeah.
That's a little...
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, like, it's so... It is... I'd said at the end, I would have liked United to have hit the ground running, just go bong, 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 this is the business, you know, like. But I do agree with Nathan. I'm glad we didn't get into a bidding war, you know, and make the mistakes of the past. We have to be learning on that level, you know, like. And the Madrid kid, you know, is he really, is the Madrid kid going to be the saga again, you know, like, is that going to be the Dijon?
I understand all that, you know, and maybe these two that we're buying will turn out to be absolutely fantastic. But, you know, I've got my doubts. Just going on Rashford.
Yeah.
I don't think you can pair Rashford with Van Nistelrooy, Barney, big situation. Rashford holds all the cards at United. You know, whereas Fergie and Van Nistelrooy was a different medical official. You know, we can't afford his wages for the next two seasons unless he's performing at a very high level. And will that ever happen? Other than that, we've got to get rid of him somehow, whether it be cheap or on loan or something. So Rashford's all the cards, and you know, I just can't see him coming back and being integrated.
Again, that's the folly of the past. You know, like the wage structure that they're trying to bring in, it might not, you know, it might not get us to the point A, but it's sort of the sensible realignment. The unfortunate thing is, it comes. The way I'm saying, yeah, that's a sensible policy. It also becomes, because there's a reason, because the Glazers. And then, as you mentioned, the ground, that's a whole new podcast, you know, in terms of how is this going to be funded? Is there a lease back? Is there hedge funds? You know, there's so many things we've got to fight over. Hello, Nick. How are you doing, mate?
Just to finish off. I can see, I mean, for once, I've watched all England's games this season in the World Cup. I can actually see why Barcelona are prepared to pay 70 million for Gordon than 25 million for Rashford. I'm not saying Gordon's worth that, but he's a far better player than bloody Rashford. You know, he's more creative, he gets stuck in more. So I can understand Barcelona going, well, we'll fuck him off and we'll pay more money and get somebody else. Nick.
Hiya. Yeah, I mean, on Rashford, though, I mean, I think there's 3 years still left on his contract, which is what, at 325 grand a week, is about 50 million quid. 2 years, is there? So, I mean, you still got to put that into factoring into his transfer fee, because Anthony Gordon's not going to be on 325 grand a week. So, I do kind of get, I mean, Barcelona obviously are trying it on, aren't they? Don't get me wrong, but I can't understand why they're still coming in at a lower valuation for him. And like Nathan says, I think he's right. I mean, I can't see him coming back into the squad. I just don't see it happening. I don't really like where this has all started. I don't see that happening, but I think regarding the transfers, I feel quite calm about it, if I'm being honest. If anything, I'm quite happy, like you say, we've not been into these bidding wars, and I think that people have a little bit more faith in the structure from last season, having a better summer and getting some good signings in. So the board have afforded themselves that time, and I don't really think like Twitter's really gone into a bit of a meltdown with it either, from what I'm seeing, which is unusual.
And it I don't know about that, Nick.
Is it not true? Anyway, must be the people you follow. So, you know, it seems like he's been pretty calm, really. Well, anyway, from like good Reds, anyway, not from new blocks and stuff like that. I don't count them people. But I think that, for me, I think it was almost needed to send a message out there to the market to say we're not going to be held to ransom anymore. And a bit of short-term pain might actually turn out to be that long-term gain. So I'm well for it. And if you've got to sign somebody like Santos, at least he's got Premier League experience. I don't know too much about him, if I'm being honest. I don't think I've ever really seen him kick a ball, unless he's played against us. And if he has, I've not noticed him, which says a lot. Fingers crossed that, you know, someone like Edison's going to be. But I think we look at, you're saying about not trying to get that midfielder in. I still think there has been value out there. I mean, Harry Wilson's gone on a free to Leeds today. He was outstanding for Fulham. He's a scouser, but that's the type of business that I think that we should be shrewd enough to do. Senesi at Bournemouth went on a free. It's not like there's not been players out there that I don't think aren't good enough for us to have. And, you know, I just think that we need to be a bit slow in those areas. I don't know.
Nick, I understand that, but Harry Wilson may well be good value as a free transfer. Harry Wilson is not what Barney's talking about, getting the guy who've come up and running that will take us far in the Premier League and the Champions League. It's a cheap option.
Is that what the club are looking for, though? I mean, because if you're looking for the person that's going to be the next guy to carry his on, I'm going to say that you've got Alex Scott, you've got Adam Morton, who are both more than good enough, that you need to go out there, in my opinion. I think you should be signing not one, but you should be signing both of them. That's what the money should be going on this season. They've both got Premier League experience. Every time I've seen Alex Scott, I think he's been outstanding. I've watched more of Adam Morton, and I think he's brilliant. He's exactly somebody that we should be signing. So I do think there's people out there that we should go. And you said about Tchouaméni as well, you know, is that going to be the De Jong side? Well, I don't think he's leveraging for a new contract. He's leaving for different circumstances because he's had a bust-up with the team. So I could see that being a legitimate deal as well. It's just, you know, what does the wages look like and stuff like that as well. So I do think there's people that are out there. But your point stands is players like Mason Mount next season are going to have to be, you know, at the moment on paper, going to have to be a massive step up.
We're relying on... We've got three injury-prone players. We know that Shaw's not going to put in 38, you know, like bloody miracle time. How many can you get rely on Mount? Can you rely on Martinez? And there are, I do agree with that, there are, like, take away the Wharton and the Scott, there's that Fulham kid who's done superb for Norway, you know, like, and consistently, like, they got him from, Fulham got him from Burnley, you know, like, I'm not saying, but we need to be a bit realistic where we are and what's the aim. And I've maintained, I think, this season is... like it or not, Reds, I think it is a tread in water. If you can then consolidate where you are and go, hope, you know, see, maybe the league, maybe, I think Maresca will kick off at City event sooner rather than later. You know, like, you don't know how Chelsea are going to do, but, and it's a strange window that things are only kicking on. Only your eyes can see, and I know it's a cliche, but no player has had a bad game before. But we have been it before where we've signed these for the future and they have really turned out poorly. So, but it's, you know, it's not even August yet, so the panic stations aren't. It's also like, what does Carrick feel comfortable with? You know, like, and I think Nick made the point near the end of last season, you don't want him being the patsy, you don't want him having overall charge. We've done that before where the manager picks players, but you want him to feel, where's he feel? Where, you know, where's he feel comfortable in all this? And, you know, what's his vision? Are the team going to be more expansive? What's our, you know, what's our play going to be like next season?
Okay. Like, not to regurgitate what Mitten said on their podcast, but like, it's a very genuine point that he made. Was, I feel like they're not really going to know where it's going to go until they've got that Casemiro replacement.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that was a really valid thing, because that is the most important role that we need to replace, because everything will flow from that, won't it? We need that solid, you know, like Mania's class, but I think it's a very different sort of, we need that central, like, you know, solid person in the middle. And who is that person? I don't think either the two people, I hope that the two people that we've signed so far aren't that. Do you know what I mean? Like I say, like, if, you know, it's weird that, like, nothing has been said about Wharton.
Yeah, that's odd.
No, going anywhere.
That is odd. I did see Chelsea were interested at one stage, but are they waiting for Enzo to go Madrid? Is it like those dominoes? But I agree that not, there hasn't been anything for about 6 weeks about him, and you think he's going to want he's going to see all these players moving. Sorry, Coggy.
Chelsea just made £50 million on a player, so they can actually go for Walter now, can't they?
But football's weird.
I understand what everybody's saying about that, you know, this third player, the players replacing Casemiro. My worry is, having spent 100 million on what we're saying is squad players, how much are we going to spend on this player? And then how does it impact on replacing Shaw or back up to Shaw? We don't know about Dilett. Martinez, I think, has done all right in the World Cup, has made some fundamental mistakes, but even he could be injury-prone. Maguire might not have such a good season as last season, and then back up for Sesko. So, you know, if we're going to spend 80 million on another midfield, that's 180 million of probably 200, 230 that we've got to spend.
Yeah, no, that's just. Yeah, well, that's what Nathan said. Ugarte was the.
So you've got to try and fleece Amarin for some cash for Xerxes or something like that and sell him back to Serie A, haven't you? So, you know, you've got very little resources that you can actually shift in the squad. So at least Ugarte's wages are being covered. You know, at least that's something. But it's.
But, yeah, they're right. It's a concern. But Nick, there are, you know, like I'm putting the grit, there are players out there like the Trossard, and I'm not saying we for Trossard, but you know, like 20 million, that's an experienced come off the bench or who get you 10, 15 goals. But I'm saying there are, if you become canny in the market, you can start. And as I know people would say, but that Fleming at Burnley, he would get us 10 goals next season, like as a pure bench, League Cup, you know, like, and you get him for 15, 20 million. You've got to start. This is, unfortunately, all part of the situation we're in. And then hope, the World Cup, the Casemiro's performances absolutely showed. Poor sod, love him. Right, 1,000 right time, you know, like he was even slower, poor sod, you know, like it was sad sometimes to see, but he'd still have that impact where he could score on his head. Albert's got the right age, he's loved it. So me, cynic, wanted, you know, and I'm going to write about this, my hatred of the corruption and FIFA, but hasn't stopped me enjoying the tournament, you know, and like, and we woke up one morning to watch Messi, and I just, a mate put it that I don't love football enough as you, Barney. Like, and I don't, you know, genuinely it's usually United, but I watched Messi at 7 in the morning and I buzzed my tits off just thinking, fair fucks, you know, people regale about Maradona, rightly so, but there's a player who's answered every, forget the, you know, the Argentinian and the, but there's a player at 37 and the game's slower, the pitches are fucking much better and best he would have had a bloody gem of a time. But you just ultimately think, you know, like, and it's been pretty much a good watch, but there are so many questions. How will the Manu thing affect him next year? Will he have a point to prove? How the fuck has he not got any minutes? You know, just ridiculous. Will he even get minutes now? Henderson showed Jordan Henderson, you know, like, so there's subplots. But like, as purely, the times have been shit. Fucking Bon Jovi can fuck off. Had enough of that song, but just enjoyed it, you know.
Can I just say about Cobby?
Yeah.
He looks a lost soul, you know.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He's not joining in. He just looks a lost soul, and you know, I hope that doesn't impact on him. You know, because he isn't likely to get minutes now. I would imagine. You know, Tuchel showed no confidence in him whatsoever, and I just think he's lost. And I just hope he comes back. Going should have really boosted his confidence. I think he could actually take a downturn after what's happened over there.
Well, he's had two. You know, that's two. Like, let's see. There's still time to play it out, but that's two significant, like, sort of kicks in the bollocks when Carrick had just got him, like, bubbling, right moment, you know, like, go on, lad. And you just think, even, you know, like, it's handling minutes better, and, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah. It just,
I guess it's good he's coming back to Carrick, then, isn't it, really? He knows how to handle him and gets the best out of him again out of adversity.
Yeah. And we've seen that before after World Cup. Yeah. Anyone enjoyed it or hated it or not watched it?
I've watched more than I thought I would. You know, as I say, I've watched every England game, and you know, apart from the last couple of games, they've been shit. But you know, quite enjoyed the last two games I played. Loved Cape Verde. You know, yeah. That's just a magical story. Cape Verde, I think, it's absolutely brilliant. And Paraguay, was it Paraguay knocking Germany out? Was brilliant. But you know, the moments of the World Cup for me was that Henderson, you know, he got booked and broke his arm without even getting on the pitch. I think
that's almost Gerrard sending off then. Someone did also message going, you know, Ollie, Haaland, Bellingham, sliding doors, you know, was advocating for them at United, what is it, 6-7 years ago, and you just think, Jesus.
But
I know it didn't.
We tried Bellingham, didn't we? And you know, we had him to Alt Carrington, pulled out Fergie and Eric Cantona, and he decided to go to Dortmund.
Yeah.
Haaland's a different story. We fucked that up because of we didn't realise there's a time difference between here and Norway.
there's football's weird that you think, you know, Sancho, fucking one of our biggest twats, if not the biggest twat we've ever had, yet the fucker has appeared in three different European finals of three different players. Yeah. You know, like, I know on loan and all that, football is just weird. Right, I'm going to go on to a few things. And then I'm going to also ask Nathan about his holidays and how everyone is. Chad in the US, just thank you, sent one of the nicest emails when you supported the campaign that we've ever had. And it was like, you know, like there are moments when we all, when it's pissing down and Nick and Nathan have had enough, that you just think you kept us going. Chloe, you know, put on the thing, had her phone stolen. We had a good day plan. We were going to watch, I forget what game it was, in Cockneyland, Black Horse Road. We'd already said, you know, keep, be careful. Just down the quietest side road, some little fucking scrote comes up right next to Albert as well, snatches it. I go running and I start going, you can't. And then there was a split second that I saw that he might turn back here, and he, God knows, you know, you just, so I was relieved. And then I just, my parting Alan Partridge shot was, how do you sleep at night? That shouting it, Red News voice. But the mad thing is, it's like a circle. The insurance actually was decent, but the police closed the case in 4 hours. The insurance said they deal with it just non-stop, and the phones ended up in China, and you Google the address, and it's just the rampant. It, you know, like, you can't tell me that we did all the find my, you can't tell me, going all fucking Nigel here, that they can't do some sort of technology that, you know, like, hang on. It's a massive circle of everything just going over. But it was pretty shitty, and it just showed it was his first experience seeing a real fucking cunt in person, and that was horrible. Ben's YouTube, watch that. Ben's going to do a little add-on at the end. But I felt, right moment, right time, that video I did with Ben about the Magden United just encapsulates the twat that is me. A successful Star Wars fanzine set up after the original Star Wars in 1979 was selling 40,000 copies. World famous, world, people ordering it all over. They hated Empire Strikes Back so much, they folded. Weird. How weird is that? I've actually, someone sent the rant about we are giving up this fanzine. Imagine what would tip us over the edge. My theory is, you know, a shit pub, you'll all know if you're going to a shit pub, it's a shit pub. I haven't talked to anyone in 6 weeks, lads. that I maintain that even if it's taken over, it remains a shit pub. I didn't get to go to Chelsea and see Monty, but he said at the coverage, Wabi Sabi, it is Japanese, is an aesthetic and philosophical worldview that finds beauty in imperfection, impermanence and incompleteness, and it celebrates the oddness. And I just think that is Red News. Thank you. Nathan, right, that's a shoehorn. How was your holiday? And tell us about it.
I'm assuming you're talking about Chelsea Flowers here and not Chelsea FC.
Yeah, not Chelsea FC. I didn't see Monty. Don, he had a reputation, sorry.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
Where did you go?
For those who don't know, I went to Japan, South Korea and China. I was there for like the first 2 weeks of the World Cup. I didn't see anything because obviously, the earliest games here were like 5 in the morning. So, where I was, so the first two England games, like 5 in the morning, it's like, I'm not getting up to that. It was great.
And what was the North Korean, South Korean border like?
Yeah, I went, like, did the DMZ, that was interesting. I've told the story. Did I tell it in the group with Coggy? I feel like I did. I feel like I told Coggy this, because I know that Coggy loves American people. on this bus trip from Seoul to the DMZ, which is the demilitarized zone between South and North Korea, and the tour guide is very, very conscious that no photos, nothing, you can't do, because obviously it's like really like high level security. We go to this big like observatory area, which is like basically a load of like telescope, like looking over the DMZ into North Korea. And just before we get off the bus to get there, he's like, right, so there's no photos, you're not, basically, don't take your phone out of your pocket. There's obviously a lot of CCTV, you will get caught and you will get in trouble because obviously it's like a live, like, security risk. Like, and there was an American woman on the bus who basically said, oh, well, if I'm not allowed to take any pictures, then I'm just not going to get off the bus.
What,
and
I know.
Actually stayed on the bus.
That's just mental.
We had like half an hour or something to go into the, like, do our own thing and then come back to the bus. And I was, to be honest, I was one of the first ones to get back on the bus. And she was just sat there, just waiting.
That's, that is the sign of the world. It's...
Honestly, I'm a photographer, I take lots of photos. I'd have loved to have taken pictures, because regardless of the context of what the view was, it was a beautiful view. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was like mountains, it was a river, it was gorgeous. It was like really, really nice, and it's like, it was such a clear day, it was beautiful. And I would have loved to have taken, I would have loved to have taken a picture of it, even if it was just a normal view. Do you know what I mean? Regardless of the fact that what it was.
Yeah.
I still wanted to go and see it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, how can you not? But that's it. Is it living it or filming it?
I was at Edinburgh Castle, and there was an American stood next to me, and we were looking at the castle, and he went, "It's a bit like the one in Disney World."
That's, but it's an interesting subplot, is how people's, you know, appreciation of things, and like, you know, is it picture perfect? This is, we went Bath during half term. Sorry, no, I'll get back to you. And but then we went half term and got an Uber into Bath town, and there was a really good blues player. So I said to the cabbie, "Oh, what's it?" He said, "Oh, this is his name." So I thought, "Oh, I'll have a listen when I get home." It was a fucking AI blues player. It blew my mind. I'm like, yeah, this is really good. It's an AI blues player. My mind blown.
Terrified.
Yeah, sorry, no. Judith Chalmers here.
And then, yeah, I went to Beijing, and the best day of the trip was, I'm just so glad that I made the effort to, I went, did the Great Wall of China.
Oh, what a photo.
Like all the other places, like within Beijing, like the Forbidden City, the Summer Palace, Tiananmen Square, etc., were so busy. And it's like, obviously, there's a billion people in the country. It's going to be busy. But I was so glad that I made the effort to go. I went to a stretch of the wall that was like 2.5 hours away from the city, whereas there was other ones that were like an hour away, and it was just empty. And honestly, like, you know, I've been, you know, like I said on my, like, I posted the picture, like, I'm so grateful that I've seen a lot of good things in my life. But that was generally, like, the best thing I've ever
Brilliant.
Seen. How many miles is China from the UK?
Fuck knows.
I'm not sure exactly. But the wall itself is 12,000 kilometres long.
Jesus Christ. That can be the December mind walk, Nathan. Go on.
What I liked about Nathan, he was all those miles away, and he still managed to piss Nick off by ticking off his Bean app when he arrived in China.
Oh, I didn't know that. He's,
yeah.
There was,
Nick was fuming.
There you go, he's ahead of you, Nick. There's one more tale from Bath. We're in a pub, and two lads in the like behind were talking, and one went, "And yeah, old Johnny One Leg." And the other bloke went, "Why is he called Johnny One Leg?" And he went, "Because he's only got one leg." I was eating with Albert, and I was like, fucking hell. I can't believe that conversation's just happened. Which do you prefer in an Uber, an uncomfortable silence or a talkative driver? There's
no silence with that.
Hey, really?
Fucking there's no silence that's uncomfortable if I'm dictating it.
Right? Well,
if you want to speak to him.
My mind...
No, I didn't.
My mind is even more blown that one of the reasons that Johnny Marr and Morrissey had their split up that will never be mendied is over Cilla Black. Still blows my mind that.
Was it?
Yeah, it was over that... I think Morrissey wanted to go in the direction of using a Cilla Black song to cover, and Johnny Marr said, "Not a fucking chance."
Well, I think Ingrid Golden Lights. I think that was a was it not the Cilla Black cover?
Oh, right. Okay. Well, there you go. Look, right. We say remembrance to Roger Cook, the investigative journalist. Still, one another funny scene that me and a mate John were he'd done an investigation of the street hawks selling like hot dogs and burgers around Leicester Square, and how bad that they were cooking all the onions and all that. And we'd go to the same bloke after a night out, after a game. And he was going, Roger Crook, Roger Crook. And I can remember, and then he got this onion with the dirtiest hand and started peeling it over the burger. And he's like, do you want any extra onion? No. I'm all right, thank you, on that note. Right, any hates of the week, lad? That's.
Yeah, I mean,
FIFA being, everything that we all knew that they were, but I think they've just outed themselves completely, haven't they?
Trump and FIFA. And of course, Nigel Farage and his latest stunt, which actually is going to turn out to be hilarious, but what a twat.
I wish someone would give me 5 million. 50p will do. Nick?
What, hates of the week?
Yeah.
Just England fans in general. I have to say though, it's been a bit more bearable this World Cup because the missus has got into it, so I've kind of had to soften to my whole anti-England stance a little bit as well and not give her the lecture of starting in France 98 with David Beckham and so on. I don't need to go through all that with her. She just takes the joy out of the moment. So, but you said about shouting a cunt as well. Adair said it's nice to see a cunt up close in real life and in person. You see Liverpool twice a season about it.
Very good.
So, and to answer your question of Star Wars as well, you said, well, for the fanzine, that's like the equivalent of saying you don't like Empire Strikes Back is like the equivalent of turning around saying Eric Cantona is overrated and he shouldn't have kicked that Crystal Palace fan. That's the equivalent of that. That's what would end Red News right there. So.
Someone will write it in. It's interesting because Albert's really keen and wearing the England top, and it's obviously United over everything. I'd take United. We had this vote in the group, and Nathan's wants England to do well, and that's not. But it's just like United over everything. But I don't have the levels until a United player is maligned again. It's just like it's. I like Bellingham. You know me and Harry Kane. I just think, come on, one day, come on, Harry. Not when you're 42 or whatever. But yeah, maybe not time's a healer, but then when we'll play a like to Leicester and they're giving it, and then you think, oh God, you're not really seeing all the scenes that you usually go with, are you? You know, like you throwing fucking bicycles or flower pots at people's heads and all that. More bizarrely, my feed has been Mexicans kicking shit out of each other. I don't know what that's about.
Just get back, England. I had this discussion with my daughter earlier on because they went to bed and got up with their 8-year-old to watch the match and everything. And obviously, I stayed up and watched it. And I just said, look, I enjoyed the game, but whether England lost or won wouldn't have affected me because it wasn't United.
No, it won't.
My daughter couldn't get around that, but she's not a football fan, really. So, I understand why she didn't understand. I said, but if England had won 3-2, then great. If they'd lost 3-2, so be it. It has no impact on me whatsoever.
Even with my laissez-faire attitude, now, if you offer me England winning Saturday or United beating Hull and Ipswich, it's United, Hull and Ipswich every bloody day of the week. Because getting on that, the fixture lists have been, we play everyone twice, but they've been kind, it's an okay start, it's not a Moyes start, it's not fucking kicking them in the bollocks straight off, I know we've got City fifth or whatever, but it's a manageable, you can, fingers crossed, I think this is the period when it gets frenzied and the transfer junkies go mad. You just want, come on, United need to loom in the horizon so we've got real people and real, things to do, and then get caught up in the bottom. I mean, we've got Champions League and maybe a trip, Anything?
Do you think it's an easy start?
Well, I'd say Hull and Ipswich, just on the first two, you haven't got...
Well, you say that, Barney, but you've got two clubs there that are on a high from getting promotion. Yeah. One of them at home. They've had no players in the World Cup, so they shouldn't be fucked. A lot of our players will have started pre-season late and everything. I'm not convinced we're going to have this...
Don't, please, Coggy, please don't. Well, you're talking pretty much, I rate to be correct, relegation fodder by the end of the season. He'll probably win, 6 or 7. So, come on, let's hope. Come on, Michael's going to show us a new way. All this cynicism, we'll fucking distrust. And there's still time to sub people. For everyone we got over the line. Thank you. Oh, literally, thank you. You're not always going to agree. You're not going to agree with everyone on the podcast. You're not going to agree with everything in the fanzine. But what you're going to get is a fanzine, and you're just going to get as normal can be. Reds, chatting, writing. Thanks every contributor, every seller, everyone who appears on the pod, everyone who listens, everyone reads. There's still time. 28 quid PDF, 45.50 print, but you'll see us back for hugs. Anyone got anything final to add till we come back in about 3 weeks or so and talk whatever's happened? Who would you most like, if you had, say we're dealing with what? Are we dealing with a 60 or 70 million left for a midfielder, hopefully? Who would you, Nick Wharton?
Yeah, I think so, just because he's a bit more Casemiro type. I think Alex Scott's a better footballer of the two of them, but I probably would pick Wharton because then he's more what we need.
Coggy?
I don't know. I don't watch enough of the football, to be honest. So if Nick says Wharton, I'll go for Alex Scott.
Saw that coming.
Nathan?
Yeah, I think so. I do think we need one more. I think attacking, you know, if we can get, you know, like we've said, we, you know, just like, I don't know, like, you know, just like bringing in like the likes of a Welbeck or, you know, like,
yeah,
someone that's just there with some goals. Just, we need, that's what we need going forward. I think, I think we're all right, because I think, you know, like I say, we've got Mount, we've got Jorgu who's gonna,
yeah,
hopefully kick on again. Defensively, I think obviously we can't rely on Shaw when he's having to play more than one game every 2 weeks, but I feel like the defensive side of things is what would, it's almost like every summer in the last, like, well, last year it was all about attack. This year it's all about midfield.
Yeah.
Next year it's going to be defence. You know what I mean? It feels like that's what we're doing. And if that's the case, then so be it. But we do need, because I don't think any of us are confident going into it. If it is just...
No, with it is, yeah.
Our central midfielders.
And they...
Can I just add that one thing that's guaranteed in the first 6 weeks of the season
is an injury.
They're going to shoehorn JJ Gabriel into a first team, into the first team, so he becomes the youngest Premier League player ever or something like that. You can guarantee that he's going to play or come on a substitute or something.
But it's like I said before, you know, like Bruno is Bruno, but what if, who's going to get us out of the hole if, and this is an anomaly because of the Ronaldo and Martinez is, you know, I never rated him as a manager. I never got the hype about him. So he didn't play him well. But, you know, like, what if Bruno has a dip? Who's going to get us out of that hole? Who's going to be? So this is where. But there are positives. Mazraoui looked fantastic this World Cup. Totally different player. You know, like, confident, involved. Get that? There's bonuses to have, and let's hope the minuses aren't as few. Right, last question.
There might be shocks. Like, I'm not saying that Bruno's going to go, but, like, if someone comes in, you know, if Argentina win the World Cup again, and someone comes in big for Martinez,
yeah,
they'll listen to it. I think they'll listen to it, because, you know, know that we can't rely on it. So that could be a bonus 70 million or something.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what could happen.
No, but then it's really...
We always talk about, like, there's always, you end up signing someone because they've had a good World Cup. Maybe we could benefit from someone having a good World Cup for once.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
This is like the point where you just do not fucking know, and that's a head fuck and exciting as well. The sun's out. Enjoy it, everyone. I hope you're all right. You know, like, some people don't like it hot. I do, but then I start moaning it's too fucking hot. I hate the fucking flies. But as long as, just take care of yourselves and dig in, everyone. And last question to our Judith Chalmers. Now, you've travelled the world. Which one place... Now I'm talking to you, Nathan. I'll then go to Nick, and then I'll go to Coggy, because he's well travelled as well. So your one place, your one day, where would you like to, that you've already been to, would you go, yeah, I'll do that day again? Non-football, you know.
That's a good question. I think I would go. I'd go, if I had one more day, I'd go back to Vietnam.
Right.
Because it was just class, and it was dirt cheap, and it was, yeah, that's what I'd do. Off the top of my head, that's what I'd do.
Nick?
Probably say go back to Rio. Again, I just loved it there. I just thought it's one of the best places I've ever been on the planet. That or the Iguazu Falls in Brazil and Argentina. One of those two, definitely.
God, you lot have been around. Fucking hell, that's going to sham my choices. Coggy?
You know something? I think driving through Vermont in the autumn and just the hundreds of miles of colour was just incredible. I think I'd do New England in the fall again, basically.
That's good. I'd go back in a DeLorean, bulk up, chase the fucker who stole the phone and beat the fucker up. We were lucky on our honeymoon in San Francisco, and we landed at the right time. We had the day ahead of us, and suddenly we were at Fisherman's Wharf, and it was like, you hear like all stuff. It was like, fuck me, the view, the just the whole thing, like, was, you know, like, oh, this is a day to savour. May we all have many more good days to savour than shit ones, everyone. Right, okay, on that bollocks note, I've never been good at this. I love you all, it's good to see you, and it's good to hopefully see you all very, very soon. Take care of yourselves, keep subbing if you haven't, and up the fucking Reds. Take care, and Coggy, is anyone not yet?
No, I'm just going doggy now.
See you later, lads. Love you.
Hi, it's Ben here for a little bit of catch up. I mean, United Mojo's all right at the minute, Barney, to be fair. I'm looking forward to the new season. Obviously, it looks like the Santos deal's getting done. Edison's obviously going to sign on the dotted line still. But that should hopefully be in the next couple of, well, I think the next few days, being that the Brazil have got out the World Cup. But yeah, I'm feeling good, mate. I know there's been a bit of a discourse around the Santos signing and whether that's how it made me feel for the summer, and some people maybe losing their minds over it a little bit, but I just didn't get a lot of chance, to be fair, at the end of the day. You know, it looks like that Tchouaméni, I hope I pronounced his name right, looks like he's signing a new deal for Real Madrid, by the sounds of it as well, so he's not going to be the man that's coming in. I don't think he would be either. I don't think Real Madrid really wants to sell stars to us unless they think they're past their peak or what have you. But, listen, I'm sure United have done their homework on Santos. I'm sure they've maybe got a bit of an insight from Casemiro on that one. Same with Edison as well, both of them being Brazilian. So I hope that, So hopefully Casemiro has maybe put a good word and everything, and maybe gave United likewise good feedback about those two signings. I think we need another striker still, to be honest with you, mate. I still take Danny Welbeck back, and I've been banging that drum for the last couple of years now, but someone that's going to cost you a million, someone's not going to cost you a big wedge, and someone that won't take big wages off your hands, I think he might be the one. Premier League proven, I think he'd be a great backup to Benjamin Sesko. Gives you something a little bit different as well. Knows how to play Champions League football, obviously, you know, being an international, you know, so yeah, I'd probably maybe look at him. I know there's been talk about Lewis Hall as well, but I think depends on how much budget we've got and how much you're going to have to try and stretch things. I think the left-hand side, possibly with Rashford maybe staying as well, you might maybe hold off for a season on that. Just get another midfielder in, who would probably be your main midfielder, you would think. You know, I don't know who that would be. Not a clue, to be fair. You know, we need a proper defensive midfield player. I don't think Santos and Edison are really your defensive midfield-minded players, but... Yeah, I just feel like we need to bring in, you know, one or two more bodies, and I don't think you're going to be spending that on a left back or a left midfielder, depending on if Marcus Rashford stays. And if that, you know, you've got Harry Amass coming back as well, so if you left back role, so I don't know really. I think striker's key, and a defensive midfielder is still very, very much key. But yeah, looking forward to the season, as I always do, you know. It's one of those, Aiden's looking forward to the season as well. I think my mojo is really good at the minute, Barney. I'm so happy that Red News is seen as its 40th year. Absolutely fantastic, everybody that's helped and subbed to the campaign and got us over that line. That 450 line is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely buzzing. So we have a little bit of time to spare as well, which is absolutely brilliant. But I'm just looking forward to proper football coming back, as good as the World Cup is from a neutral's point of view. And let's say I'm not big on international football either, and I couldn't care less if England do win the World Cup. But what if they come crashing out? I'm just looking forward to United. It's all about United for me. So yeah. Excuse me, hopefully we have a good start to the season. We've got an easiest run in up until the exception of the Manchester City game. We've got an easy sort of first four games there out of the five. You know, you think, I say easy, we all know that that's probably a bit disrespectful because we all know that the Premier League's not easy, but we've got a favourable run in there, the first four out of five fixtures. And then obviously being the City one, being the biggest tester in them first five fixtures. But you know, hopefully we'll start off strong this season and come into that City game on the back of three wins, you know, and then hopefully beat City again and then go into that Fulham game, the last of the fight, that block of five, and hopefully maybe come out top of the league. That's probably me wishful thinking, but yeah. Anyway, mate, I know you said keep it 4 minutes. It's got over five and a half minutes, as always. You know me, I love to sort of overrun things. But yeah, once again, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's supported the sub campaign. We're back for the 40th year, and that's all on you, Barney. You know what I mean? We're so happy. I'm so happy for you, Zane's so happy for you. You know, 40 years. Wow. For the 40th anniversary in April 2027, wow. You better have a big party, Barney. Better have a big Red News party for the 40th anniversary, mate. I think you deserve it more than anybody as well for the 40 years of absolute love and hard work that you put into the mag. So anyway, again, it's got over 6 minutes now, so I'll shut up. But my mojo's great, Barney. Looking forward to seeing United again. To the regiment, glory, glory, Man United, and we'll see you in August.